The following presentation, paperless or paper-free, on the back of the wireless infrastructure, a tablet device that will work as an electronic lab notebook, desktop and soft phone client, was given by Toby Fenton of Peerbright Institute at Network Shop 42 in April 2014.
Cool. Morning, everyone. Hope we're all still awake. I went home early last night, so I'm feeling a bit fresh, a bit smug about it, but there we are. So one slight apology. Aaron and I compared notes yesterday. He's just pinched half my speech. But So you might hear some stuff again. You might see an occasional same slide, but there we go. Paperless or paper-free on the back of the wireless infrastructure, a tablet device that will work as an electronic lab notebook, desktop, soft phone client, bit of everything. Again, as we are with the VDI, we're a little bit behind, and there's a reason for that, which I'll come into towards the end of the speech, but it's certainly exciting stuff, and we're certainly getting close to it. So, a bit of an agenda, just going to talk quickly, briefly, one-liner about the information services policy, based on consolidation, self-service, and automation. So, but about myself, I'm the head of information services at Peerbright. So I not only cover the infrastructure, IT service, IT development, but also the library, which is a little bit different. I'm not used to managing libraries. There we are. What does paperless mean? That's an old one, I think. We'll get into that in a bit. Current state, what are the biosecurity requirements, the lab book itself, risk spaces, some of the equipment, BYOD, everyone's heard of that before, software, next steps, and a bit of a summary. Shouldn't take too long, so hopefully won't hold you up from getting home. I'm not the last one on today, there are a couple afterwards, thank God. So consolidation, self-service automation, this is our IT sort of mission statement. You can read this in the slides afterwards, but effectively consolidation. I'm in the Institute 12 months now, and they've had the luxury of having multiple computers, laptops, tablets, and we just need to take a step back and look at, actually, is that the most efficient use? A lot of self-service. Scientists like to do things themselves. They like to fix things themselves. And certainly automation, and that's just a time saving. So it's where we can automate services. And we were having a conversation yesterday about provisioning of telephones, and somebody's written an automated script to save time. So that's the IT mission statement, and that's where we're looking and trying to increase the efficiency of science. That's what we're there for, is to get scientists doing science and not learning new technologies. You've seen this slide before. This is a really important slide. Bit less interested about the IT geek and the or the screens. I'm interested in the labs. So we've got this brand new lab. It was designed probably in the last 12 years. It's been in design phases. We're about to move into it. There's not enough space. They're not in the building. There is not enough space. Taking aside all the chemicals and everything else, there is not enough space. So when it comes to paper, it's not an, this was a really fundamental key point, it's not an IT decision that the building is going paperless. It is an actual functional decision. You can have a lab of 6 people and no paper, or you can have a lab of 5 people and paper. Which do you want? And that's the question puts to the scientists, and the scientists were 6 people and paper. So it's a bit of a mission. What does paperless mean? I'm going to read this statement out. Not requiring paper because of the use of computers and other electronic media to record, convey, and store information. Not requiring paper because it's been replaced by a computer. Okay? You talk to scientists and go, paperless, that's really an emotional subject. They can't do, people have been born with paper in their hand practically. They don't like it. I know the students who are coming through today, they're all about tablets, electronic, Facebook, digital media, they're all fine with it. The old school, it's a real struggle, it's a real concept. When we're talking about engagement, we weren't allowed to use the term paperless, it's low paper usage. It's too emotional to take paper away. We haven't, again, in the telephony yesterday, we're having a conversation about taking telephones away and replacing them with soft phones. it's too emotional. They need to have the handset on the table. They can't just talk to a tablet. It's, you know, far too emotional for them. So that's what we're doing. We're looking at low paper usage, as I say, in a paperless building. Current state. So scientists work on in the labs on an A4 hardback book. I'm sure we've all got, is it the big red book or the red book or the one with the black cover that says the red book on it? Each scientist will have be working from two books a year on average, 1 to 6 months. The group leaders will have a book per PhD student they have, so, and they'll have up to 12 PhD students, so they'll have up to between 12 and 15 books a year. These labs have been around 100 years. We've had scientists that have been working inside for 25 years. So the way they use the books, they will write up their experiment in their first book, and then they'll use the, they'll use that as the reference for all their work preceding that. So 25 years, and they go back to book one as a reference. So when we come to talking about what we're going to do with paper, we're talking a massive issue. At the end, we'll get into some of the concepts around that, but that's the current state. We've got in our old lab masses of paper. We've got rooms filled with paper. Biosecurity requirements. Now, this is quite a busy slide. I'm not expecting you to read it. This is what I know is BSETCon 17 biosecurity process 17, which is how to take paper out of the old lab. Now, in brief, what that means is you have to take whatever book you want, you have to put it into an autoclave bag, you have to seal it with gaffer tape, you can date it, you then put it in a second autoclave bag, you seal it, you date the outside of that, you then put it in a clean archive room on the inside for 2 years, you then dunk tank it out, and you can then externalise the book. That's per book. There's about 155 scientists. You're getting the grasp of the problem. If they had started 2 years ago, they would be in a really good position. What were they doing 2 years ago? They were doing science. They were still using the books. Some of the teams were a bit proactive, and they did actually get on with it, so we have a clean room with these stores in. One of the issues, if you want that book in that 2 years, you can go and get it, you can break the seal, take out the portion of data you want, you then put it back in, you reseal it, you redate it, 2 years starts again. So we're in this never ending. This could go on quite some time. Biosecurity, that's their process. That's what they stick to. We'll look at some risk spaces in a minute to get an understanding of where they're at with that. But ultimately, we've got a problem. I'll reiterate this again. This is not IT's problem. This is the scientists' problem, and they've come to IT looking for a solution because we seem to be in the best position to provide that. Or ultimately, as it transpired, is we highlighted the situation, so it then became our problem. But the lab book, I'm just going to switch to another slide. Yeah. This is a typical lab book. Can you see that? This is actually from a CL2 lab, so it's a non-virus lab book, which we've started in the program. This is what it looks like. This was 256 pages, one book, and someone bounced up and down over there. Sorry, I'll do it. Didn't make it to the door. So. This is a typical lab book. We've got handwriting. We've got a gel plate there, black and white. I don't know if you can see it, the light's quite bright. Third page, we've got a blue gel, which doesn't come out well in the scanners because it's blue, and scanners don't like blue. We've also got sellotape, the orange stuff around the left-hand side, if you can see the orange, that's sellotaped into the book. So then we've got text, again, sellotaped into a book. We've got a colour plate there as well. More text. what are we going to do with that? What are we? They want us to pull a rabbit out of the hat on this one. That, you know, in an ideal world, we'll scan that in some matter of form that will take 30 seconds to scan it. We'll convert that into text. We'll make it PDF searchable. We'll supply it in a nice document management service, and it'll all be wonderful. That's not reality. Again, not more boot plates. It's all stuck in. They're stuck in pages. There's a post-it note over the corner there on the top left-hand corner. This was one book, and this one scientist we worked out had 13 and a half hours of scanning to complete his. He'd been there 5 years. He's a group leader. He's been there 5 years. He's working outside of containment, and this was just one person's requirements, so to speak. So the scanner. Don't know really what to say. We've got thousands of books at the moment. We're looking at one scanner to see if it's feasible. The problem, as I pointed out, you've got sellotaped your pages in, you've got pages wedged in pages, you've got all sorts. Converting it to digital media, to take it out of the lab, we've already seen we've got to autoclave them, or we're not allowed to fumigate them anymore because the fumigant doesn't get into the inside of the books. So we could think about autoclaving them. If you've written in biro, it'll work. If you've written in pen, it'll smudge because it's steam cleaning it effectively. So we've got this scanner. This is in testing at the moment. It's quite nice. It's got page turning detection. So you put the book in, you flip the page, it realizes you flip the page, it just automatically scans. About 20 minutes a book, that's with preparation. So that's with taking out all the folded over pages, the stuck in pages, making it sure it's all perfect. We're looking to, as an example, looking to recruit one person whose job is going to be scanning. Really exciting job, but someone's got to do it. And again, trying to get scientists to do that. Scientists are on site to do science. They're not on site to scan books. So quite a tough sell at the moment, something we're working through. Risk spaces. And this is what we alluded to. This is our existing lab. The orange areas everywhere that we call inside containment. So the IS4 lab in the middle, that's one of the high containment labs. The red building right over on the right-hand side, that's a sewage treatment plant. So that's ultimately high containment. So this is the old site. Erin showed you space on the new site. This is what the new site looks like. So we've got the green area is RS0 space, so that's the write-up area who was talking about. There was a picture of a desk, that's the write-up area. You've got, inside. Once you go inside, RS1 space is the general corridors and the general areas. You've then got RS2 space, which is you're getting into serious virus work, and RS3 is you don't want to go near that. I'm not a scientist, I don't have a science background, so if you need to talk about viruses and what RS3 means, then Aaron's far more engaged with that one. But ultimately, when we say it's going to be paperless, when you're going between an RS0 to an RS1 space, you have to step over a barrier, and which means you have to do something. You have to change your clothes, and in some instances, so if you go from RS0 to RS1, if you go from outside to RS0, that's a shower. You go from RS0 to RS1, you have to put on overshoes, I think. If you go from RS1 to RS2, you have to put on, you change lab coats. All sorts of stuff like that. And what he was saying about taking kit in and taking kit out, if you cross one of these barriers, you have to do something. So if you're in an RS2 space and you want to go into an RS1 and you have a tablet, we're going with the concept you leave it behind and you pick up a new tablet in the next room. It's the scientists are quite good at this. They're quite used to it. They get used to it from an outsider's concept. There's a lot of different spaces on there when you're going between rooms. And to remember to leave paper behind, if you've got something in your pocket, you have to leave it behind, you can't take it with you. It gets quite busy. We did look at giving people tablets in plastic bags, much like the radio solution, and you could dunk them out between labs, but if you're coming and going, you're trying to dunk a tablet through a bag with a bag in it, all sorts of problems. You can't charge a tablet in a bag for the will in the world. So a bit about what we're doing. So we've got the VDI exercise. There's some techie stuff on there for you out there. So like 5,000 IOPS for a VDI deployment, a bit of storage, thin clients, we're looking at tablets. So tablets in the labs. We've got the issue of capacitive versus resistive, so that's whether the screen's a touch screen or a pressure touch or not. The more expensive ones are a mixture of both. Where we're working in the high containment area, we're looking at cheaper tablets because if they break, you've got to throw them away. You can't get them out to fix them. So we've got, again, 178 lab positions, 130 scientists, 75 PhD students, roughly. So do we do a tablet per person or a tablet per position? All comes out in the concept of if you put the tablet down, you go to another one, you pick it up, your cursor is in the same position. So it becomes as flexible, in theory, touch wood, as possible. Flexible usage, and this is the idea of consolidation our technologies. We're looking to be a lot more flexible around what service we provide, a bit of from anywhere, anytime, with exactly the same desktop. We've talked about telephones and telephone usage. Currently, some of our scientists have up to 5 telephone numbers because they have one in every lab. They have one outside of containment, 4 inside containment, and a mobile phone. So actually tracking them down at the moment is a big issue. They don't like to be found. We talked about this yesterday in our link. We were discussing Link. They see Link as Big Brother because they can be found. So it's, again, it's quite emotional to them. There's a lot of change going on. We were also looking, we're talking about email consolidation. So as Aaron pointed out, we don't get a Vodafone signal site. We don't get any mobile signal site. We have 128 mobile phones. I don't know what they do with them because they don't work on site. What they're actually doing is they're using the mobile phone for email at home. And it's quickly to identify that we can move that onto a service within this VDI concept, in or out. VMware just bought AirWatch, was it, a couple of weeks ago? Citrix have Zen Mobile, equally a mobile app. Lots of scope there for consolidation. How am I doing on time? Software. So electronic lab notebooks. You were all hoping to see one. We're a bit behind on that. Again, we're looking at a proof of concept in the next month or so. We've actually signed up with Acceleris, a company based in Cambridge. I would have liked to have brought one along so we could all see it, because it's quite emotional point at the moment. We're not quite there. What our survey found, 80 to 85% of paper removal requirements will be fixed with a software-based solution. You won't get 100% coverage.